Well, this came as an idea from Willie Hughes, who's really the guy behind the initiator of this concert. We found it intriguing because, like you say, the shrine is changing in so many different ways, and we felt that with the Basilica, which is able to hold these type of concerts and unusual kind of maybe events, but faith-linked events, if you like, we found that intriguing. So we said yes.
And it's called The Story of Love?
It's called The Story of Love. It takes the whole idea of God's love for us right through from creation to the modern day. And all that meant for the human race right throughout that. Now, that's some length of time. But it's taking that idea that we are infinitely loved, as Willie keeps saying. We're infinitely loved by a wonderful God who wants nothing but the best for us. So how did that pan out in human history? How did it come right down along the line through the Old Testament, redemption, through Christ himself? And how has that worked out and played out today?
It's a concert, so it's all done through music. He's lined up a very interesting lineup of choirs that have already taken part and will be streamed on the night from around the world. The Sistine Chapel, the New York Choir. I mean, he's really got heavy hitters on board for this. It promises to be, from the list of the cast anyways, a musical treat.
Absolutely. It has grown from what Willie, I think, originally envisioned. But he did think that we should have choirs from the various different main cities around the world. So New York is there, Sistine Chapel Choir is there, I think Mexico, a whole load of other connections. And it kind of opens it out globally, which is what we like as well, because it not only has a wonderful story, but it promotes the shrine as well. And really, that's part and parcel of our Witness to Hope project here, because it's not just... the Basilica was refurbished. It's a beautiful space, but it's not just that. The key and deeper issue is the promotion of the shrine, and also showing that Knock is a special, unique and wonderful place to come, whatever level of faith you're at. We don't prejudge. This is, as I always say, Knock isn't the last bastion of Catholicism left in the country. This is complete. If you're in that mind frame, you're in a small little mind frame. This is vastly different, and it's about connectivity, connection, relationship, getting the name out and showing that God does love us. We have a wonderful way of expressing that here and not through a whole host of different ways, but that's our aim.
And what are those different ways? I do notice there are much more young people around than one would normally associate with a place, as you say, traditionally, in the image in the past, that it was more devotional and more for the older person.
Absolutely. Well, it maintains a devotional nature, because that's the essence of a shrine anyway, no matter what shrine you go to. However, we do have, for the first time, volunteers. We have, just on a practical level, 2 years ago we had 15 local people that volunteered of their time, because I asked them. And we have a wonderful coordinator here, Monica Morley. But last year we had 70. That grew to 70. Then we had 104 young people, 17 to 18 year olds. Sometimes in the church when we say young people, you get it at these festivals. Young people can go from 18 to 40 or something ridiculous like that. Like, that's nonsense. We have young people that are 17 and 18 year olds, and they're willing to come here. They're in hoodies. They love welcoming people. They get the idea from Father Michael Murphy, who's a priest of our diocese, used to bring, still does, bring groups to Lourdes. So they work in the Akoi there and all that kind of thing. So we said, why not here? And that has grown phenomenally. And then we have the Michaela camp. Then we have areas where families can come and leave their children in. They're through games and fun and all of that, they're catechized. Not like when I was coming here as a kid, I was dragged around by mum and dad and given a stick of rock to keep me quiet. It's far more, I suppose people have a very old image of Knock. We're saying it's a brand new place. It's a completely engaging place. Even if you want to come here for a walk, it's a completely different place. But maintains the tradition, but with initiatives.
Yeah, and maybe bringing spirituality into the 21st century for where people are at. Yeah. And part of that also you're offering are prayer guides and maybe a bit of spiritual direction, which is a very helpful thing, because often people who do come here, I presume, as in Lough Derg or other places, they may come with a specific worry or burden.
That's right. Absolutely right. I always say that even at the weekends when pilgrimages come here, I say, we come here, every single one of you, I say to them, has a prayer, somebody has asked you to pray for them, or some intention, but also a thanksgiving. Never, always remember, no matter what stage you're in, you should be thankful for some little thing, and it transforms the spirit. But we have prayer guides. That was an initiative of Brian Grogan and the Jesuits. Last year we had a Jesuit week. I was delighted with it. It worked tremendously well. We have another Jesuit here this year for a week, and we grow our I suppose, spiritual program for people, because we work off the adage, and this may be a kind of, I'd like to try to give you sound bites here, but anyway, see how they go. You know, you preach the gospel where people are at, not where you'd like them to be. You know, because you don't know the levels of where people are at. And if you do that, you let the grace of God work. And God does work.
And that is also a very Jesuit thing. Ignatius was very much, you go to where people are. And I notice you do have a Jesuit coming, Richard Leonard, very well known, popular speaker, great books, Where the Hell is God, wonderful speaker on prayer and on suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of the new look knock as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Our traditional novena was simply a mass at 3, a mass at 8:30, and the ceremony and the processions. We incorporated a number of years ago seminars and workshops. The practicalities of faith in the people, in the lives of people in the country. So you say that you're a Catholic, you say that you're spiritual. Well, what does that mean? You might hear something wonderful at Mass, that's great, and that's the input. But maybe you'd like to know a little bit more, you'd like to tease that out a little bit. So we incorporated these seminars, which are working tremendously well for that. So it's practical application, practical spirituality, and practical engagement with people.
The whole notion of Mary and Mary appearing here, at that time in the 1870s, that was then, this is 2016, what do you think that what happened then has to say to where people are at now?
Well, I think it's actually so relevant and poignant that at the time in 1879, people were destitute. People were like families today that are living in hotel rooms, having a roof over their head, are evicted, and because of the economic circumstance, find themselves practically in the same position as people in 1879 who are kicked out of their homes, roofs caved in, battering rams there to take in the wall in case the people would go back into their evicted homes. They were destitute, land war going on, many famines in the place, and they were almost a hopeless people, but the faith that they had gave them that sense of hope. And I suppose that visitation, that unusual experience, supernatural experience that occurred, said, look, you're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. Everything that is heard, there will be, you know, I suppose, a righteous judgment about all of this one day. But here and now, you're not forgotten. Trust in your faith, and things can improve here. I'm not of the opinion myself, you know, well, offer it all up and kind of, you're destitute now, but in heaven you'll be. There's a very Franciscan way in terms of profanity. You have to take that vision of the future, absolutely, but do something about it here and now. And I suppose great men like Michael David and all these people tried to improve the lot of the people of the time. So where does that leave us? Again, I think the church today should give hope to people in that regard and should simply meet people where they're at, but say, you're not forgotten. We're here with you and we'll try and help you as far as possible.
So the place is open. It's going to be packed, I'm sure, all summer, but people who come here, myself included, I think, have seen a very different knock. The basilica refurbishment is beautiful, but at the heart of it, there's a real transformation. Those prayer guides are women, spiritual directors. It's the church collectively in action. It's not just a clerical dispensation of devotion.
Absolutely, yes, indeed, it is. And people have become ownership. They own Knock, really. They have that sense of ownership. Locals especially. Our parishioners who want to get involved through a voluntary way. All our staff here, you know, they're constantly told how special this place is. You're not here just as a worker. You're almost here as an evangelizer yourself. You know, you don't have to become a great missionary, just the little things that count. And once you instill that, a transformation occurs.
And in terms of the concert, the story of love that we spoke about at the beginning, if people would like to go to that concert, get the tickets, how do they go about it?
Very simply, ticketmaster.ie for the tickets, or here at the Shrine, simply call 094 938 8100 or simply knockshrine.ie.
And that concert is on October 15th and 16th.
That's right, 15th and 16th, Saturday and a Sunday. Do buy your ticket. Do come early. All of the information will be online. So we hope that you enjoy it as much as we will.